I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Internet Marketing episode 12 on Monday the 9th of October. And today we're talking about accessibility. Good morning, Mr. Jeremy Jacobs. How are you,
good
sir?
Good morning, Andy. I'm not too bad. Yourself?
I'm exceedingly well, thank you very much.
That's very good to hear.
And today we are talking about...
accessibility.
Well, accessibility. Okay. This is a very hot topic, of course.
Yes.
And it's very important as well, because there is now legislation about it. So perhaps we can start off. Just tell us, what is web accessibility in a nutshell?
Okay. Well, a lot of people, when they think of or hear of web accessibility, instantly go to disabled people, which essentially is what web accessibility, or accessibility as I'll refer to it throughout this podcast, is talking about. It's making sure that your website is accessible as possible to pretty much everyone. Think of it that, you know, many shops, restaurants, bars, etc. now have disabled access for wheelchair users. Think of it pretty much the same along the lines as doing the same but for your website.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, it's not just about disabled people. A lot of people think, oh, it's about people with visual impairments and using screen readers. But the great thing about accessibility and making sure your site's accessible is it can benefit pretty much anyone. You know, sort of people say, for example, you know, the older generation who maybe aren't as used to using computers as younger people are. Accessibility, you know, does actually help them as well as, you know, people with, say, visual impairments.
So, yes, because I have heard that if your website is built in such a way that it's following these accessibility guidelines, it actually helps your search engine rankings. Is that true?
It can help. It really does benefit everything. I think making sure that your site's accessible, you know, accessibility covers a very, very wide range of things. And, you know, so much we can't actually go into it today, but, you know, making sure your site's accessible means that it's well built, as in talking about the code that it's built in, but also, you know, in the way it looks, etc. So it's going to help users because it's going to make it easier for people to use. So that sort of covers usability side of things. And also it means that if your sort of, like, for example, HTML code is well structured, as accessibility guidelines say it should be, it means that search engines are going to be able to access the information, you know, and your content very easily. So again, it's going to, you know, it's certainly going to help sort of search engine optimization as well.
Yeah. So basically, accessibility is all to do with equally easy access for everyone, basically.
Yes.
Regardless of their situation. Now, is there,
absolutely,
is there, how much evidence is there that people on the internet, that, you know, webmasters, if you like, are actually following these guidelines? And as a sort of secondary question, you know, kind of, not so much why is it important, because we know it's important, but what would you say to those people who aren't following it? Why? What's their sort of real motive for, you know, getting their websites up to spec in terms of accessibility?
Sure. Well, I think the most sort of important point about all of this is it's the law now.
Yeah.
this everything's covered under the Disabilities Discrimination Act of 1995, and since 1999 it has been made law that website owners make what they call, and I'm doing my little rabbit ears inverted comment thing right here, reasonable adjustments to their sites in terms of accessibility. So really, that's the most important reason as to why, you know, we need to be aware of accessibility and start to think about doing something about it, purely because it is the law. Companies can be taken to court and, you know, sued, whatever, you know, legal action taken against them because, you know, their site isn't deemed to be accessible. So I think that's probably the most important reason as to why, you know, people need to be aware of it and doing something about it.
And what about the actual sort of technicalities of making your site accessible? What does it actually involve, Jeremy?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do is think about consulting different organisations who do actually do a lot of research and publish guidelines on this. The W3C, or the World Wide Web Consortium, are probably the biggest influence over accessibility. They publish what's called the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, or WCAG. There's two versions. Version one, which is probably the most important at the moment, they are in sort of working on version two, but they're, at the moment they're saying stick to version one. And they actually provide a sort of, I think it's around 65-point checklist that webmasters can go away and actually work through to make sure their site's accessible.
Okay, and that's available on the web, is it, Jeremy?
It is. If you go to www.w3.org, that's the the character 3, not the spelt out.
Yep.
W3.org, that's the World Wide Web Consortium's homepage, and then there's a link on there to the accessibility area. And you can download those guidelines for free. And they're actually split into three levels, what they call levels of conformance, A, AA, and AAA. What they actually say about that is that all websites should be at least level A. That's sort of like the sort of bottom level of what you have to achieve. And there's lots of different factors, some reasonably technical, some non-technical things that people need to consider. AA level is the W3 state that most websites should really stick to these levels, but it's not compulsory. And then finally there's AAA, which is sort of nice to have. It'd be really good if you could achieve these, but they're not essential. Right. So my advice to people would be, go away, get onto the W3C website, download those guidelines, and just have a read through the sort of level A list and see, you know, how that relates to your website and what you need to do.
Yeah. The World Wide Web Consortium presumably is your first port of call for advice. I mean, are there any other places where you can go?
There are, yes. The RNIB, or Royal National Institute for the Blind, which is a UK charity, if you like, publish some absolutely fantastic sort of advice on their website. Their URL is www.rnib.org.uk. Or if you just type RNIB into Google, they'll come up number one. And then if you actually go, it's actually a bit tricky to find, actually, ironically, I think. But if you click on the link that says Good Design on their homepage, and then there's a link called for the Web Access Centre. And under the Web Access Centre, they've got a little area of the website where they've got lots of really good non-technical advice on all sorts of different things to do with accessibility in regards to your website, and also just general advice on why accessibility is so important and things you need to do. They don't have any sort of level or sort of checklist like the W3C do, and they actually direct people off to the W3C to make sure to actually look at these guidelines and make sure their site's accessible through them. And just one last interesting point about the RNIB, they do actually have a telephone number, which unfortunately I don't have off the top of my head, but you can get from the website, and they have an advice line that webmasters can actually phone up and ask the RNIB advice about particular issues, which I have actually done myself a couple of times, and they're very, very helpful. So that's another sort of port of call there as well.
Are there any other international organisations, Jeremy? Because the the Royal National Institute for the Blind are UK-based, aren't they, of course?
They are.
How about our friends in the States?
Well, I would say to our friends in the States to actually just to really stick with the W3C. I, off the top of my head, I can't think of any particular organisations in the US, but the W3C is considered, or their guidelines are considered to be the global standard in accessibility and those issues surrounding it. So I would certainly advise people to actually go and have a look at their site. There is also, again, this is again British, but there is the Disabilities Rights Commission actually commissioned the British Standards Institution to publish this document called PASS 78. That's actually another document that people are strongly advised to go and download. You can actually get it for free now. It's actually off the Disability Rights Commission's website. Download it for free, and that's got some really good advice and guidelines in there as well for people.
Jeremy, was that PASS 78 or
PASS? PAS 78, all one word. Yeah, PASS 78. The Disabilities Rights Commission is the website. I do have the address here, but it's particularly long.
Okay.
But the Disabilities Rights Commission, I'll just give you their short URL. It's www.drc-gb.org.
Okay, well, listen, if you send those to me, I will make sure that they certainly go on the show notes on my website, www.summitsolutions.co.uk. And I'm sure you'll want to post them on yours as well. So we'll make sure we've got all those links and that long address on the show notes.
Absolutely.
Now, listen, Jeremy. I mean, I don't know what. Presumably, you've got your ear to the ground on accessibility. But what's your perception of how people are sort of accepting it, or not? Perhaps that's not the right word. What's your perception of how people are embracing it? Because I've heard from one or two sources that there's a little bit of fuzziness, a little bit of confusion about exactly what you should and shouldn't be doing. But what's your take on it?
I completely agree. I think there isn't much clarity about what needs to be done. There are a lot of organisations out there. That, for example, the PASS 78 document that I just mentioned was published recently. You know, they were charging people for it originally, and then they've decided to actually give it away for free. But that, you know, I think a lot of these websites, organisations, don't often provide conflicting information. So I think you can pretty much go to any of these and actually get some really good advice from them. But as I mentioned earlier, W3C organisation is considered the global standard. So we do urge people to go and go and look at their website and actually get some information from them. But I think, as you rightly say, there is confusion about what's going on. As I mentioned earlier, the W3C is definitely the one to go and have a look at, because, as I said, they are considered the global standard. RNIB do refer people to the W3C as well. I think there is a lot of confusion about what level people have to achieve and things that they need to do. And I think, even though there is a lot of confusion, and it does sound like a very big subject and they're quite sort of scary in a way because of the legal issues surrounding everything. But if you actually go and look at the guidelines and the checklist, there isn't actually that much to do to a website to actually get you up to that level. One of the most important things which I wanted to mention was these things called alt tags.
Ah, yes, I've heard about the importance of alt tags and accessibility.
Yes. They're called a number of things: alt tags, alt text, alternative text, or alternative tags.
Yeah,
one of those four ones would be fine. Essentially, what they are, you know, when you roll your mouse over an image on a website, and you get that little sort of tooltip yellow box with some writing there, that's actually the browser displaying what's called the alt text. And the whole point of it, essentially, nowadays, is there for accessibility. So when someone using a screen reader comes to use a website, say for example they have a visual impairment, what the screen reader will do is actually read out that alt text, provide what they call an alternative text description. So those are very, very important, probably one of the sort of biggest checkpoints you need to do for your sites, to make sure all of your images have suitable alt text. I would advise people to go and speak, look at the RNIB website for some really good guidance on that, because unfortunately it's not as cut and dry as just providing a description of an image. There's different things we need to consider. For example, if the image is a link, you don't actually need to describe the image, you just need to describe where the link will take you.
Right.
Other things, for example, like decorative images or parts of the navigation of the site, don't need alt text because they don't actually provide any context to the information on that page. So a lot of people seem to think, oh, alt text, okay, or alt text, I'll just put a description in. But it's actually not the case that you need to do that every time. So as I mentioned before, have a look at the RNIB website because they've got this fantastic little page that describes everything you need to do. But the key thing about the alt text is it's a very, very simple, non-technical thing that people can add to their site, but the impact it has on accessibility is huge. And I've seen some very high profile websites out there that don't have any alt text, and it's one of these things that they need to really, really think about and get put right straight away.
Actually, you mentioned audio screen readers, and I was really surprised the other day because somebody pointed out to me that the way these things work, of course, is they completely ignore the style sheet information.
Yes.
So, of course, they will read out what's on your web page as literally as it appears in the HTML file.
That's correct.
And one really interesting thing to do is if you're using Firefox, you can actually view any website without any of the style sheet information applied. And it's quite interesting, actually, to go to a site, especially if you're working on a site, actually view it in Firefox, turn off, I think it's under View, and then you can turn off the style sheet. Mm. And what you will see is literally the order that a screen reader would read it in. And it's quite interesting because you can realise all of a sudden you've actually got something in the wrong order and just wouldn't make sense at all. But because of the style sheet, it appears just really nice.
Yes.
But of course, in the file, you know, you've got like menus after blocks of text and stuff like that, so it's probably worth doing that if you're a web developer.
Absolutely, I think that totally agree there. That's something that people do forget about as well, quite easily.
Yeah.
So as I said, there's lots of different small things that can actually have an influence. Also, things like turning off JavaScript as well. JavaScript's quite a big issue with accessibility, and if a site is heavily reliant on JavaScript, it can cause a bit of a headache.
Mm.
Because you need to be able to view or use that site without JavaScript switched on. And again, with the same sort of thing with style sheets, it can really change the way your site looks and how it reads if these two are switched off.
So Jamie, does anyone know if anyone's fallen foul of these rules yet?
To be absolutely honest, I'm not 100% sure on any particular sort of cases this has happened. I have heard rumours of people being taken to court. I'm actually a member of the, I have to pronounce it correctly, I always get it wrong, the Association of Accessibility Professionals, which is sort of a UK organisation set up to sort of get people together that are interested in accessibility and talk about different issues. Mm-hmm. And they've pulled up a number of very large high street stores, I won't mention names, of sites that were launched this year that are just completely inaccessible, sort of really ripped them to pieces, I suppose, because they're not providing an accessible version of their website. And you know, it's pretty much the same that, you know, these are high street shops, and if they didn't allow, you know, disabled access, then they'd be pulled up on it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But their sites are really inaccessible, and it's quite surprising how, you know, even in this day and age, that those people that are designing those sorts of sites aren't taking that into consideration.
So people are starting to get warning shots across the bows then?
Yes, I think it's definitely becoming more and more important. I think at the moment it's building up, and I think it's going to take a sort of really high profile case, you know, of something happening to a large company for this to really make people sit up and take notice. So I would advise people to start looking into it now.
Well, of course, we welcome feedback, so if there's any listeners out there that do know of anyone that's been pulled over for bad accessibility, let us know. And your contact details, Jeremy, are?
You can contact us either via email, which is info@academyinternet.com. And that's probably the easiest way to contact us, actually. So that's info@academyinternet.com.
Okay, fantastic. And of course the website is www.academyinternet.com.
That's correct.
Okay, we'd also love to have any comments, so if you're listening to us via iTunes, please do leave a comment, hopefully a good one. And don't forget to subscribe. Just press that subscribe button and this will be delivered automatically to your earbuds every week or so. So, Jeremy, thank you very much for talking about accessibility. Have a great week, folks, and we'll see you again soon on Internet Marketing. Internet Marketing was brought to you by summitsolutions.co.uk.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.